What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota #4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Your show was better when you had medical questions. Hey!
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medical specialist who keeps all the alternative medicine weirdos at bay. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you've got a question, you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider. If you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-WHOHEAD. Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine or at Dr. Scott WM. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on the show without talking over with your doctor, nurse, practitioner, practical nurse, physician, assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, or whatever. All right, don't forget to check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. And the Port Charlotte whore, Dr. Scott, is calling you on your bullshit, saying that there's no nasal spray out.
Nah, she's right.
Okay. So if she would email me, I would email it to Dr. Scott, and he'll make sure that you get some.
I'll take care of her.
That was the best thing you had.
I know. I've got it. It's just getting my damn jackass to put it back on my website.
Oh, we talked about this last time. Why don't you just let me do your website?
Because you've got... 14,
no, but I can do that. That's fun.
Gazillion.
And that's easy. I do Chanda's website. It's no big deal. And, you know, I've got that video program now where we can do, like, if you want to have a sale or something like that, then we can put little videos up there. I did one for her for some lip filler thing that she had.
Okay.
And she had a special, and I made this little one-minute video on Vidnami, which is this... thing that Matt Kleinschmidt turned me on to, and Cliff was using it for a while.
Oh, Cliff, yeah.
And so I did a one-minute thing, and it had, you know, pictures of people getting filler, and then it said, hey, and there was a nice sunset and music and all this stuff, you know, $100 off until Valentine's Day or something like that. I put that thing up there on her Facebook and then on the website. It literally took me 5 minutes to make it, if that. Mm-hmm. Half of that was just logging in on her slow-ass computer. And it wasn't 10 minutes later, they'd already sold like three packages that paid us back for the whole year's worth of Vidnami for the computer we were using, everything. You know, it was really cool.
That is cool.
So it's very effective. So if you want something like that, you let me know.
Do I get to use her? She's party.
Yeah, but you don't have to. I mean, she is pretty.
People don't want to look at me.
But they there's stock stuff on there.
Yeah.
And we can pick things and use stuff. Like I did one that was just a yoga pose of some random person. It's all public domain and everything.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Anyway, check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. Maybe it'll be better soon. If you want to lose weight with me before you hit the beach, go to Noom, noom.drsteve.com. That's noom.drsteve.com. That will take you to a site that will let you download an app that is a psychology app. It's not a diet, and it will help you change your relationship with food. You'll get a counselor. You get a food log. No points, none of that dumb stuff. Most everything that they've got, including, you know, I get Freshly sometimes, mm-hmm. where they just make the food for you.
Sure.
And I scan those in. Those are in there. Mm. It knows how many calories they are, and it'll rate it based on red, yellow, or green. Good Lord. It's the epidural. I'm telling you.
In.
Yeah, it's kicking in. So anyway, go to noom.drsteve.com. You get 2 weeks free, and you get 20% off if you decide to do it. And it's only a three-month program. You don't have to do it for the rest of your life like you do some of those other ones that certain people push. All right. And then that's about it. Stuff.drsteve.com. That helps keep us going. So if you will use that, you don't have to do anything else. I had somebody ask me, "Ooh, can I send you a bottle of Willett's?" It's like, no, I like it a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. And if it's around, I'll drink it. And it's probably, it's cool. Thank you. But I really appreciate the sentiment. It means a lot to me. It really does. But just use the stuff.drsteve.com. You don't have to do anything.
No.
But that would be awesome. I was thinking about maybe someday just switching everything over to Patreon. I don't know, but we'll make it real cheap if we do.
Okay.
Like we did before.
Right.
Because the ads are stressful to me, and then there's 10 ads in our show right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't had anybody complain. I'm sure they're either listening to them. I hope they are, and using our sponsors. But that's a lot.
That's a lot. But
so we'll see.
But they are great products.
Yeah, indeed. Yep. I guess some of them are just random inserts. But the ones that that we do, I do. I have the opportunity to say hell no.
Right.
And I do say hell no to a bunch of stuff.
Mm.
And so the ones that I actually do a live read on, I'm cool endorsing them.
That's cool.
Because they're for real. All right.
Sounds good.
All right. Very good. Dr. Scott's head butt of the microphone notwithstanding, that was not the worst opening we've ever had.
No.
And you'd think after, what's it been, 15, 16, 17 years, it'd be a little better at this, but no.
Yeah.
You know, the day that we did this show, and people who have listened for a long time know this, Anthony and his girlfriend were sitting, I was sitting in his chair. And after it was over, he came up and he said, "That's the best first show I've ever heard in my career." And we've never gotten any better since then. It's we're still a decent...
We're still chasing
right. We're a decent first show. But, you do one or two a week, it's not the same as doing 4 and 5 hours a day.
Totally different.
Hope used to say, "Oh, you guys with your podcasts are so cute," because most podcasts do one show a week, maybe an hour. Joe Rogan's an exception. There are other exceptions. Mm-hmm. Dave Rubin and Michael Malice does a ton of shows, but a lot of podcasts are just a weekly thing. Who are these podcasts? They do an hour and a half every week. And I calculated it up one time. Of all the shows that we've done over 17 years, it barely makes up something like 6 months of shows that O&A were doing.
Wow.
Because they were doing, in the beginning, 4 and 5 hours a day.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's a lot of yapping that jaw.
Yeah. So one day for them is a month for us.
Yep.
Right?
Man.
So anyway,
I don't think I have that much to say.
No, no, that's the thing. To carry a show like that, you know, when you have Howard Stern, I mean, you got to put Imus in there,
sure.
Opie and Anthony, and I'll even throw Covino and Rich in some of the more modern talk shows. That's hard to do.
Yes,
we've been talking about doing a terrestrial medical show like Dean Adell, and he used to do an hour a day, and that's about all you can do with this medical crap because people get sick of it.
Yeah,
they're interested in hearing other people's problems, but really about an hour is about all you can keep people's attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's if you're not doing like we're doing and bullshitting.
That's if you're talking about something important, right?
But I think it would be fun to do a terrestrial show where we still say things like bullshitting, but we bleep it out.
Yeah, yeah, that would be
fun. It would be on terrestrial radio, and so people go, why are these doctors cursing, and they're having to bleep stuff out?
If they only knew.
Because the unnecessary bleep is always funny, too. We used to do that to Liam when he was 7. He would say, you know, when my mom is being a beep, you know, my dad turns to Ashley Madison. I wonder if I can find that.
That was a funny bit.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. God, that was hilarious.
Let me see if I can find that.
Because it sounds so much like he is just saying.
Oh, he's just cursing up a storm.
And he's just a little one. You can tell his voice is.
Oh, yeah, he was a little guy.
Just a little dude.
That's when he liked me. Well, he likes me, but that's when he would come up here and do stuff.
He likes you now. He just doesn't tolerate you anymore, right?
Yeah. No, he does. He's my buddy. Let me see. That's the voice track.
No, he is
Let's see. Great
guy.
That's
great
the
guy.
Voice track. Oh, come on now. Let me see.
And he's got a birthday coming up.
Yep, he does.
When my mom is a my daddy goes to AshleyMadison.com. There he can lots of other women. When I grow up, I'm going to be an Ashley Madison man. Because my daddy's raising me without any moral compass whatsoever. Ashley Madison, find your lovers here. Why exactly are we singing this? Daddy, what's a rotisserie?
That's the best part.
That is the best part.
I hope we don't get in trouble for playing that. I mean, it's a parody. I guess we're okay.
No.
Yeah, Liam was pretty funny.
He was funny.
And then he had, there was this bit we did. Now, this was before your time. Liam versus Eastside Dave. Do you remember that?
I think so.
Really?
I think.
So they had sort of like this wrestling thing, because what happened was Dave came here and then he said something about my kid. Oh, he won't stop touching my kid's head. And so then I just got Liam in here and said, what do you think about Uncle Dave? Because he was Uncle Dave. He said, well, I think he's a doo-doo head. And then A-side Dave, of course, took that to the next level. Well, you don't call me a doo-doo head, and started playing Welcome to the Jungle. And then it was this back and forth thing,
right,
where Liam and Dave were doing sort of like wrestling things. Eastside Dave, if you're listening, you know, but it was a 7-year-old kid. It was a great bit until Dave took it a little bit too far.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's all I can really say about it. He took it too far, and we were told the bit was over. So.
By more powerful beings, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
I can't find it, but it was on our website at one point. I'll see if I can dredge that up and put it up on our website somewhere. That was really funny
while it
lasted.
I love it.
And that was when they were doing Special Delivery. Dave and Sam Roberts were. Okay.
No, I don't remember that.
I'm still searching for it. Let me see. Now it's driving me crazy. And see, if I search for Dave, I'll get Dave Cecil. Oh, wait. Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Okay, here's Dave versus Liam. Let me see. Let me play this. By the way, we'll explain in a second why we're just BSing this show.
I almost had to punch their little son in the face. He was grabbing Juliana by the head. He thought he could pet her like a dog, but he was like shaking her head around like that.
Oh, he just loves her. He's giving her sugar.
That's what she was saying, actually. She goes, he loves babies.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's going to break my baby's neck.
And she says, she said this about, and this is Tasty, of course. She said this about the boy. She goes like this. Oh, he's a little devil. He's got the Jew in him.
Oh, no.
What does that mean? You know, Jew, devil. go, I never knew that.
That's because they say, not true. Okay, I remember this. Ron used to love to put words in Tacey's mouth just to make her sound horrific. Mm. And he said, when I die, he's going to come down here and just mess with her constantly. Mm. And he loves him some Tacey. Now, let me see if this
is different.
I almost
had to punch there.
No, that's the same one. Let me see. So what do you think about Uncle Dave saying that about you?
He is a stupid head.
He is a stupid head. He is? What else do you have to say to Uncle Dave?
And he does not have a sense of humor.
Really?
Yes.
Well, there's a lot of people listening to the show that comes on after us that would agree with you on that.
Ooh, wow. So Liam is taking shots.
Listen to
That's
me.
That's Dr. Steve's five-year-old son.
Listen, I don't want to have to say that, you know, I'll assault a five-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't want to
assault
have,
or assault?
I, assault.
Assault.
I don't want to have to drop that low, Liam.
Wow.
But you don't take shots at me, and you don't call me a stupid head.
He also said,
if there's one thing you can call me, it's fagula.
You could say that.
Alcoholic.
Right.
That's really accurate.
It's factual.
Fantasizes about his grandmother.
What?
Oh. That's right. I remember the funeral.
Oh, shit. I still,
Dave, how are we going to settle this, Dave?
You hear it here first. After I take down Chet, I'm going to fucking knock your fucking block off anywhere in New York City.
What?
A gloves-off boxing match. East Side Dave and Liam from the Dr. Steve Show. Anywhere in New York City, I am taking you on.
Oh, my God.
Punk! Play get in the ring, Pepper. So this is what it has to resort to, huh, Liam? Uncle Dave comes there, and he fucking gives you some pen and paper so you could draw a little castle on the back of some placemats at that Italian restaurant we went to. That's what Uncle Dave did for you.
Dave, remember, he's just a kid. Don't get worked up, Dave.
And after that...
He just called you a stupid head.
A stupid head!
Yeah, and he said you didn't have a sense of humor.
There's one thing you don't call Uncle Dave, Liam. It's a stupid head.
You did.
And you did. You know what we're going to do? We're going to punch you in the face.
Oh, my God.
Now who's scared? Because I know I'm sleeping tonight, little boy.
Okay, so that wasn't where Dave took it too far.
Oh, no, that wasn't.
No,
oh, geez,
no,
that
not
was
at
it.
All.
Oh, Lord.
No, I can't talk about that part.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. That is
Dave.
Hilarious.
Who doesn't love Dave?
Oh, God. Who doesn't love Liam?
Yeah.
He is such a good kid.
Well, we had this whole thing that Sam and I had been working on, you know, talking back and forth. Wouldn't it be cool if we actually had a Friday night fight thing and the main attraction was Dave versus Liam? Because Liam was a black belt in karate at that point, too. You know, he was a young... He was black belt something. There's a term for it when you're eligible for your black belt, but you have to meet some certain. I don't know. Yeah. Shit, but who knows? Yeah. Anyway, but Liam had been taking karate for years at that point, and so he was going to do some moves, and then between rounds, we were going to get a short person who had the same color hair and throw them in the ring and just say that was Liam and have them beat Dave's ass. Would have been hilarious.
It would have been funny.
You know, in typical wrestling form, we wouldn't have ever acknowledged that it was a completely different person.
No.
There's a lot of people are not aware that I worked in championship wrestling. I was an audio engineer and a cameraman for Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. And Wide World of Wrestling. And I worked with Ric Flair and Wahoo McDaniel and Mr. Wrestling Tim Woods and Greg Valentine.
Oh, classic.
I met Andre the Giant once.
Oh, my God. Was he as big?
Let me tell you something.
Just beyond massive.
I walked into the studio. So we had this giant metal padded door, you know, soundproof door that went into the studio where we did the wrestling commercials, and to the left was the news thing where Bob DeBartolaben would do the weather.
Okay.
And Charlie Gaddy and Tom Suter and those guys would, and Nick Pond would do the sports. And I think there was a guy named Fred Thompson that did it on the weekend.
Okay.
But anyway, so I walk in there, and Andre is leaning up against the back wall. So when I walk in, there he is about, I don't know, 10 feet away from me. And your brain can't adjust.
Yeah, you don't.
Because you go, well, he's only 7 foot six or something, yeah. But the tallest person that you may have ever seen was 6'5", 6'7", something right. like that. And when you see somebody, and it's only a foot more, but your brain can't adjust, and it was like I shook my head and I looked at him, and it was really hard for me to gauge the scale. Mm-hmm. You know, was he closer to me than right I on. Thought, or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, is he like 2 feet away, but he's not.
Right. He was massive. Nice guy, very quiet. I didn't get to really interact with him. Mm-hmm. We did have this guy. His name was Igor, Mighty Igor, the Polish Prince. And I may have told this story on the show before. I don't know if I did. But he would gnaw on a Polish sausage constantly. He never actually bit it and chewed off a bite. He would just gnaw on it okay. while he was talking. So... to set this up a little bit, they would have these commercials. So they'd do the wrestling, and then, but the wrestling at that time was a loss leader to get people into Dorton Arena and Charlotte Coliseum and stuff like that to see the matches, so they would sell tickets.
Okay.
So Jim Crockett Productions would film these things, and then they would send them out to like 36 different TV shows. TV channels.
Okay.
And each one of those would have two commercials. So there are 36 channels, two commercials. We had to do 70 of these 30-second to 1-minute commercials.
Oh, dang.
And they were the ones where they go, tonight in Dorton Arena, a Texas Chainsaw match. And then you'd get Blackjack Mulligan coming in, Wahoo McDaniel, if you're listening, you know, that kind of stuff. Yes. And, of course, he's listening. He's sitting right there. Yes. We had to do 72 of these damn things, so they were all sitting there. You know?
I love it.
And, what was my point? What was I going to tell you? So Mighty Igor. So Mighty Igor, let's say he's up there with Baron von Raschke, right? And Baron von Raschke had the claw.
The claw.
Right. And he could just put his hand on your head and you would faint.
Yep.
Right? And Mighty Igor, I can't remember what his bit was other than this Polish sausage, but he would gnaw on this Polish sausage. Now, we would do this, these commercials, in the studio where the news was, but when you're facing away from the news, to the left was the... farm show set, and we would use it for lots of different things, but it had a sofa and a little kitchenette and stuff in there, and then they would do things in there, like for the 6 a.m. farm show, where they'd just be sitting there all nice and comfy, because it's 6 in the morning. That's right. Kind of what you need.
Yes.
So, so some of the guys would sit over there instead of sitting at the tables.
Okay.
And Mighty Igor, you know, he'd gnaw on this thing. Well, anyway, one day I was cleaning up the set, because I was a gopher, you know. I did audio and camera and stuff like that. And I was cleaning up the living room set, and I lifted up one of the cushions, and lo and behold, there under the cushion is Mighty Igor's effing Polish sausage. And what he was doing, this guy,
God.
He would gnaw on it for the whole day and then shove it under there. And then when he came back, I guess he just grabbed it out from there and stuck it back in his mouth again.
Holy cow.
Because otherwise he would just throw it away and bring a new one.
Right.
There's no reason to shove it under the cushion.
Oh, my God. Hilarious.
Mighty
the good
Igor.
Old days.
Turns out he was from, I think, if I remember correctly, and somebody who's into that kind of wrestling, I think he was from Kernersville, North Carolina. That was what made it really funny. You know, he's just a local guy. You know, adopted that sort of fake Middle Eastern, or not Middle Eastern, but Eastern European sort of, I am Igor, Polish Prince, you know, like that. Oh, everybody sounds like Bela Lugosi and Dracula.
Right. Oh, even
that is funny.
That is cool. The good
Come
old days.
To me. Come to me, children of the night. So anyway.
There you go.
All right.
That's pretty cool. That's a good story.
That's funny.
That is a
good story. I had so much fun with those guys.
What years was that, roughly?
70.
Okay, so I went to medical school in 82 to 86, and I took the year before that. So 80 to 81, I was doing all my prerequisites. So it would have been 77 to 80, something like
that.
That's cool. It was like 3 years I did it. And I did some while I was in school, so maybe a little longer than that, 3.5, 4 years.
That's so funny.
But when they transitioned me to full-time audio engineer, and then my favorite guy, I think his name was Earl Ash, I can't remember. He was like the guy over it. He retired or he left, and they put another guy in it, and it just wasn't the same. The one guy was like a TV aficionado. The other person just wanted to get the job done. And I wasn't. You know, I had graduated with a degree in radio, television, and motion pictures, so I wanted to do kind of the things that we were trained to do.
Right.
And it became just how many roses commercials can you do? And you got the sales rep or whatever from the company sitting there yelling at me because he did, you know, the audio wasn't at exactly 0 dB during this, you know, or 0 VU during this part of the commercial and stuff like that. And it was just, they'd put things on little turntables and move Barry Phelan, I think was his name. He was one of the floor managers. They only liked his camera work.
Okay.
So they would have him arc around these. Who knows what the hell they were? Little bottles of shit that would spin around and stuff. And it was like, it wasn't high art, you know.
Oh my God.
The only time I had any chance to be creative was they had a show called Uncle Paul's something or other. And Uncle Paul was one of the greatest jazz pianists that has ever walked the earth. And somehow he lived in Raleigh, North Carolina. His name was Paul Montgomery. And if you can find any recordings of him, unbelievable. This guy was so creative, and he was blind, and he is actually the guy that taught Doc Watson the chords on the guitar. At least that's the story he used to tell. They were at North Carolina School of the Blind together.
Wow.
And he taught him to Doc Watson to play guitar. So this is this guy.
Oh my God.
And he had this kid show, and he just did it for a goof and to make a couple extra bucks. And so he was hilarious, and he wanted to do some kind of fun, creative things for the kids. And that was fun. You know, we invented a bunch of different puppet characters, and his partner, Roel Gorman, I just heard from him recently. I just said, hey, I just wanted to say hello because I really enjoyed working with you 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And so he's like 100 years old now, I'm sure. But, you know, it was a fun time.
That is some fun.
But then it just got to be a drudge, and that's when I ended up
moving on.
I went to Vickers Communications in Durham, North Carolina, and sold ham radios and CBs.
That was an expensive mistake.
Until years later. Well, that's
no, you know what I mean.
That's true. I was already a ham radio operator, though. I've been one since 1972. But Scott's right. I've got some ham radio projects
really
going
nice,
on right
nice
now.
Ones too.
But I. No one is interested in this, but you know what? I had an epidural today on my back because I was crawling up the stairs to get up to the studio, and it's either that or have effing surgery.
Yeah.
So, and I'm a little hepped up on steroids right now, and I've got no sleep because I was in pain all night last night. So, just, you know, let me tell some stories today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is made possible by PwC. A robot may not be coming for your job, but competitors are coming for your market share. At PwC, we pair the right tech with the right solutions to help you gain a competitive edge. Reimagine operations from the cloud, fuel innovation with responsible AI, and detect risks before they become headlines. That's human-led and tech-powered. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at thenewequation.com.
But, and now, hell, I don't remember what
ham radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was working at a ham radio store, and this guy comes in, and he's just as goofy as he could be. Mm-hmm. And he's like, can you help me put up a ham radio antenna? And it's like, no, I sell you the stuff to do that, but I don't come to your house and do that.
Right.
And I had learned, I had no idea that I was absorbing physics.
Okay.
And that was the thing that scared me. That's why I didn't go to medical school in the first place, because I didn't think I could do the physics.
Wow.
And I was absorbing physics by learning electronics.
Okay.
And so, you know, we calculated the what bands do you want to be on here? Okay, I want to do 7 megahertz. Well, that's 40 meters, so you need a half-wave dipole. It needs to be 20 meters. You know, this whole thing.
Yeah, sure.
And I sketched it out for him. Just do this, 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 and this. And here's a center insulator, and you can set this thing up, and you'll be fine. You don't need me. So I didn't think any more about it. The next day, this gorgeous, absolutely stunningly gorgeous woman comes into the ham radio store, which, by the way, never happens, never. If I may say.
Not the
so.
Ham radio store.
Well, it's just, you know, it's a bunch of goofy, weird guys and stuff, and I consider myself one of those. So it was unusual, and everyone knew it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were all trying to be cool, like, ooh, I hope she comes over to my, and I knew she wasn't coming to mine.
Right.
You know, why would she, this person, it was very chauvinistic. I mean, why wouldn't a hot woman want to do ham radio? But yeah. Honestly, why would anybody want to do it? So, except it's fun as hell. But anyway, so she comes right to my thing, and she's looking at me, like, kind of giving that, you know, come hither look, and she goes, are you Steve? And I went, why, yes, I am.
Yes, ma'am.
And she said, would you... Here, wait a minute.
No, we have some, this has got to be appropriate music.
Here we go. Would you help my... that's the wrong... Here. Would you help my husband put up his ham radio antenna? I'm like, why, yes, I will. Absolutely, I will. He was out in the car, that son of a bitch. Knew.
Sucker.
Yep, and he said, you go in there and you ask him if he'll do it. So anyway, so I did. And I said, well, if he's going to go to those lengths, and besides, she was, you know, I wanted to get to know them better. It wasn't like I... You know, he's his wife, but sure. Still, it was cool. Still, yeah. So I went over there, and he and I ended up being best friends. I mean, inseparable best friends for many, many years of our lives until the two of them split up, and then we got her in the divorce, which was weird for him and me because mm-hmm. she and my wife at the time were really close.
Okay.
And so, but then he kind of got weird and, you know, stalky and stuff like that. So anyway, He was not the smartest person I ever met, but he was one of the nicest people I'd ever met at that time before he kind of lost it. And the thing was is that he was a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if this guy can go to medical school, well, by God, I know I can. And that's really what...
And get a smoking hot wife.
What stimulated me. Well, I had a wife at the time, so, just, you know, whatever. Know. Yeah, yeah. But that's really what stimulated me to think about going to medical school. Because I was like, I always wanted to go. He said, you should. No, you need to do it. And he'd even say, if I can do it, I know you can. You're 10 times smarter than I am. Mm. So I got the MCAT book and realized, hell, this isn't that bad.
Right.
And there were several physicians from Duke who were clients of mine at the ham radio store, and they were like, hell, we'll help you any way we can. But the biggest thing was is that I had dinner with my dad one day, and I just said, you know what? I'm thinking maybe I'll go to medical school because my brother's a
John
doctor.
John was in there already, right?
Yep. And he said, oh, that's interesting. And my dad was a big letter writer, and he had horrible handwriting. So he would write these long letters, and you'd have to sit there and decipher them. But I'm glad I took the time to do it. And I'm glad he took the time to write when he went home because yes. He said, you said something the other night, and I really didn't make a big deal out of it. But if you can get into medical school, I'll help you pay for it.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, you know, and that's like.
That's awesome.
That was awesome, but Chapel Hill, it was only $2,500 a semester at that time, yeah, so it was pretty cheap because it is it has the biggest endowment fund of any university in the country, I think. At least at one point it did, because it's the oldest state-owned university in the country. You wouldn't think North Carolina, but I mean, that people have a negative image of North Carolina that is unfounded. It's right. You know, the research triangle is incredible. Right. There's a lot of stuff going on, and North Carolina is a great state. Yeah. So we kind of try to keep it quiet, Tennessee too, so that we don't get a bunch of carpetbaggers down here trying to move in. But so it was inexpensive, but still, it was a big deal.
Right.
And that was enough to spur me to go try to take my prerequisites and stuff. And there's a lot of other cool stories of out-of-the-box thinking that I ran into with professors and stuff. I won't bore anybody with that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that was kind of the journey there, my friend.
That's awesome.
Yeah, totally. I know. I get it. Boring.
No,
boring,
hell,
it's boring story.
Hey, beats the dog shit out of talking about, what is it?
Your show was better when you had medical questions. AIDS!
God damn, this is about as boring as sex with my wife.
Can you please stop bullshitting and get to the question?
Okay, yes, we can.
Let's do it.
28 minutes in. What were you going to say?
I said it beats the dog shit out of listening to stories about your Star Wars collection.
Oh, well, I was hoping that guy would call in. Jason from DC OnScreen was going to call in.
Please don't, Jason. Please don't, Jason.
And we were going to talk about the new version of Justice League that came out. Oh, my God, dude. It's awesome, though.
Yeah.
That's the greatest thing. Even Tacey liked it.
Oh, my God. What is it? Oh, I've got to tell you a quick, real quick story.
Yeah.
So we have a new office manager. She's just fabulous.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
She's hot?
She's cute, but
okay. You can't say.
No, I can't say too much. But she is just a lovely
tell
person.
Me later.
But so the other day we looked on our schedule, and this we had a guy on here on our schedule name.
Oh,
Jason Deadpool.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's kind of an interesting name. Sure enough, the guy had come up here and was talking to her and had a Deadpool shirt on. Well, she sees the Deadpool shirt on and just. Goes has a blonde moment and goes yep.
Well, no, she was probably hilarious. Didn't ask his name and just decided to put
no,
that on there.
Oh no, she got the name
because I have a bunch of people like it's like Tom Liam's tennis coach or Julie Liam's friend's mom and stuff like that in there because I identify them by who they are.
Yes,
but anyway, all right. I guess that's not a HIPAA violation.
No.
Because it's not a real name.
Not a real name.
Okay. Check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. That's simplyherbals.net. Do you actually have anything on there now?
No, I'm not new.
Okay. All right. Let's answer some damn medical questions.
Number one thing. Don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
All right. Here we go. Uh-oh.
Hi, Dr. Steve.
Oh, hello. Oh,
hey.
Big hello to you and everybody in the studio.
Excellent.
And where is P.A. John? I didn't hear from him a long time.
Yeah, P.A. John was B.M. John, mm-hmm. and now he's sold the brewery. Mm-hmm. And now I think
he's going to try to be PA John again.
Is he? I think he's agitating to retire and just make poor old PA Jill do all the work. So we'll see.
That would make more sense.
We might be able to get him back in the studio, though.
That would make more sense.
He's very, very, very funny, man.
Is he, though?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
So,
ask his wife how funny he is.
Mm-hmm. An accident at work last week.
Okay.
And I wanted to ask you a question about that.
Okay.
My colleague pinched his finger with a press brake. And he was in pain. And I was thinking after, what would happen if I gave him smelling salts that I use for exercising sometimes? Ammonium carbonate. Would that adrenaline from smelling that salt make his pain go away, at least for a while? Thank you for answering.
Well, his pain might go away for a while. My Croatian friend, that guy's from Croatia, which I think is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
But you would be in pain because he's going to punch you in the face. Smelling salts are solid ammonium carbonate and ammonium bicarbonate, and they dissociate to form carbon dioxide, water, and water, which are odorless, but ammonia vapor. And that triggers the inhalation reflex, and it causes the muscles that control breathing to work by irritating the mucous membranes of the nose. And people will sometimes use this to counteract fainting. Now, Dr. Scott may have something to say on this, though, because one of the hypotheses in acupuncture, of course, is that the brain is attending to a lesser pain stimulus, and that blocks the greater pain stimulus. So why don't you wax eloquent on this for a second?
Yeah, it is specifically it's in the dorsal horn of the spinal cord.
That's right.
Give yourself a BL.
Give you one of those
every once in a while. Yeah. What we try to do is overstimulate sometimes.
Yep.
And the spinal cord brain can only take so much information. Just like, you know, your body can only accept so much oxygen. There are only so many receptors. And once you
can only juggle so many plates.
So
at
many
once.
Plates in one of them. Yeah, and after that, it's just too much.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happens. So you can, for a little while, overwhelm the system with this information, but eventually it kind of kicks back into its normal state.
Yeah.
And that is very similar to what I do with acupuncture.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm just going to throw this one thing out that says the use of ammonia smelling salts to revive people injuring during sports is not recommended because it may inhibit or delay a proper and thorough neurologic assessment by a healthcare professional, such as after concussions when hospitalization may be advisable. Some governing bodies recommend specifically against it. And that is from, I'll tell you exactly where that's from. That is from the Football Association, which I don't even know what that is. Pitchside Medical Care, it's called. So it's some association, but anyway. All right. Very good. Excellent question.
Good question.
I love the audio, by the way. What he did was record that on an MP3 and send it to us, which you are always allowed to do. You can send it through the contact form at drsteve.com. Just go to contact and ignore the warnings. That's there for randos that come across our website, not for our listeners. Or you can just email them to drsteve202@gmail.com. But I want to listen to the beginning of this again because it sounds like he's inside my head. If you're listening on headphones.
Hi, Dr. Steve.
Yeah, it's like he's right here. He's surrounding my head. Anyway, all right. Let's do another one here.
Hey, Dr. Steve. This is Jay from Connecticut calling. I just saw that the CDC is recommending that fully vaccinated people do not travel at this time. Now, I'm curious, since they're requiring masks and they're engaging in social distancing, is this a serious issue, or is this just a case of overreach by the CDC? Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay, so I think this is what they recommend, from what I can tell, is that the CDC says if you must travel, which, by the way, I'm going on vacation next mm-hmm. week because I put it off from last month, so I must travel.
Yes, I agree.
The CDC recommends waiting at least 2 weeks after getting fully vaccinated and taking the following steps to reduce the risk of COVID-19 transmission. Check travel restrictions before you go. Get tested with a viral test 1 to 3 days before travel. I think that's a pretty cool idea, just to make sure you're not spreading it around if you're asymptomatic.
Sure, sure.
That's all I can find. Do you find anything?
No, I saw pretty much the same thing. They're still recommending that you maintain social distancing and mask. And if you're in a group with other people that you know are vaccinated,
yeah,
still have a little bit of...
Well, just be cool.
Cool about it, yeah.
I'm a little bit with Rand Paul in the sense that there isn't any data that shows if you've been fully vaccinated mm-hmm. that... mask wearing or any of that stuff makes any difference. If you have 20 people mm-hmm. and they've all been fully vaccinated, mm-hmm. I mean, what are they going to do to each other?
Yeah.
Now, what Fauci says is, well, we don't have the data to show that that's actually safe. And then Rand Paul says, well, but then you're trying to tell me to do something based on a supposition. There's no data. And then Fauci says, well, how could we have any data? It hadn't been long. You know, it just back and forth and back and forth. I see both sides of this. Just I think for me, if I told people, well, you don't have to wear a mask. Well, now what? Mm-hmm. How are you going to know that the person who isn't wearing a mask is somebody that shouldn't be wearing a mask? Mm-hmm. This is the issue. And then we could give everybody a COVID passport. Well, then now you're marking
tattoo.
People. Well, now you're marking people for discrimination and stuff, too. Yeah. So I think just be cool. Mm-hmm. And if there's a chance that you could transmit to somebody else, then you should do
it.
Most states right now are starting to relax some of this stuff. There's not a mask mandate where we are right now. So just be cool. But if you're sick, stay home. If you've been exposed to somebody, you have to still isolate yourself or quarantine yourself. And if you have it, you got to isolate yourself. You still got to do these things. Mm-hmm. But we canceled Micro Moog Fest because we're still where we were going to do this party mm-hmm. and event. And we had More Daga, by the way, check him out. We had Metamither, who's going to be on the show pretty soon. And Jennifer Arango and Brian Patton and Paul Gaeta. We're going to all... people who are into electronic music will have some idea who these people are. And if you like electronic music and you don't know who they are, go look them up. Mm-hmm. But they were going to play. We had that. And actually, Super Android 23 mm-hmm. was also going to play. That's Cody Gilmer and me. Mm-hmm. So, and we worked up, a 30-minute live set, mm-hmm. which you can hear on SoundCloud, but you'll have to just find it. Just look, Super Android 23. I think that'll be the only one. Mm-hmm. And just remember, the live sets are meant to be listened to live, so it's not something you would want to listen to on your stereo when you're just sitting there listening to music. But and when you hear clunky Moog playing, that's Cody. That's not me. I don't play clunky. So we were going to do all that, but where we were going isn't quite open up enough where we could pull this thing off.
Right.
So there's still, it's still a little bit of time, but I see the light at the end of the tunnel. If we get a therapeutic,
any therapeutic would help.
That will keep people out of the hospital.
Yep.
And the antibody, the monoclonal antibody infusion is one of those, but they're only using it for people at high risk.
Mm-hmm.
But it works.
Okay.
And so if you are at high risk, you're obese, you have diabetes, you're immunocompromised, any of those things, and you get COVID-19 and you're at risk for serious disease, call your primary care immediately and say, where can I get the monoclonal antibody infusion?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been shown to prevent severe disease. But you know what's also been shown to prevent severe disease is the vaccine.
Right.
And even the vaccine that has 76% efficacy against symptomatic cases, it's 100% against going to the hospital and 100% against dying.
Right. The ventilator and dying.
So just get the damn thing.
Get it.
All right.
Yep. Okay.
Shut the F up. Oh, okay. So I'm on the CDC website, and they said people are considered fully vaccinated greater than 2 weeks after they've received the second dose in a two-dose series, or greater than 2 weeks after they received a single-dose vaccine. That'd be Johnson & Johnson. The following recommendations apply to non-healthcare settings. Of course, that's different. So fully vaccinated people can visit with other fully vaccinated people indoors without wearing a mask or physical distancing. Well, yay. Good Lord. Yeah. Took forever to get there. A visit with unvaccinated people from a single household who are at low risk for severe COVID-19 disease indoors without wearing masks or physical distancing. Very good. So if there's no one in the house that's morbidly obese or on immunosuppressive therapy, and there's a list of risk factors that we can go through.
Definitely diabetes.
But in diabetes, then you don't have to wear a mask with them. And this is where Fauci comes in. So, well, you know, you could have asymptomatic transmission, but the transmission asymptomatic is so low. I mean, it's incredibly low. And at least we think it is. And then refrain from quarantining and testing following a known exposure if you're asymptomatic. So if you're exposed to somebody, you went out to dinner and then they called you, oh, God, I've got the COVID, like Big Joe did.
Oh, yeah.
Then you don't have to quarantine as long as you're asymptomatic. If you're fully vaccinated, that's 2 weeks out from the finishing the vaccine.
Good.
But then they say, for now, fully vaccinated people should continue to take precautions in public, like wearing a well-fitted mask and physical distancing. This is where Rand Paul goes, you know, apeshit about this. And there's still reasons for this. Mm-hmm. And the reason is, even if asymptomatic transmission is extremely low, let's just say these vaccines don't stop you from getting infected, but they stop you from being symptomatic.
Right.
Even if your transmission is low, you're coming into contact with way more people than if you isolate.
Right.
So it kind of balances out. And so until we know for a fact that these people don't actually can't transmit, they're just saying, let's just do this because we're all sick of this. We want it to be over. The quicker we can get it over. This is their idea. They have an argument for it. And I'm not completely against the argument until we know a little bit more now. If we find out that these vaccines, and they're testing us now, the people that are in the trials that had that were vaccinated, that they actually don't get infected, then there's no reason for you to wear a mask. Yep. But we don't 100% know that yet.
No, and you know, the other thing, Dr. Steve, and you can answer this, I'm sure, but would be the concern of how long the antibodies last.
Doesn't matter.
In your body.
That's the cool thing.
Okay.
Remember, so what they're doing now, let me throw this out there. This is something people don't know anything about because I got a little bit of inside information, but I don't think I'm in an NDA for this.
Right.
So if I am, you know, I'll apologize.
We'll forget about it.
But they're getting ready to test, and I heard this from kind of a side thing, and they didn't tell me it was off the
record.
Not
directly,
so.
Yeah.
They're getting ready to test those of us who had the vaccine early.
In the trials?
Yes.
Okay.
For cellular immunity.
Okay, good.
So they're going to be looking at not only humoral immunity, which is antibodies, those fade away, what they're looking for. And I had to surmise some of this. But they're getting people in certain centers that can do this test where they can look at white blood cells and then they can test them to see if they're still reactive to this antigen.
Okay.
And that will tell you if you have long-lasting cellular immunity. And if you do, then my prediction a long time ago will be true that you'll get reinfected, but it'll just be a cold or it'll be asymptomatic.
Right. Well, good. That was my concern.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. Because antibodies ain't the only thing.
No.
And if
you're
only testing for antibodies, you're not
You're going to miss some shit.
So memory T cells are really the key to this.
Right on.
Ultimately.
Cool. That's a good answer. That's a good answer, Dr. Steve.
Well, thank you, my friend. All right. Let's do a non-covert one.
Hey, Dr. Steve. My question is about Fordyce spots. As long as I can remember, I've had skin-colored bumps up the bottom half of my shaft and then all over my ball sack. Recently, I was spending some fun time with a lady boarder tonight.
Yay.
And she said that there was creams to get rid of them. Is there any creams, or do you know of any non-invasive ways to get rid of floor dark spots?
Wow.
Thanks in advance, and keep up the good work on the show.
Yeah, Fordy spots. You know, the thing is that Fordy spots are ectopic oil glands. And what ectopic means is they're just in a place where they shouldn't be. So you'll get these little spots over the shaft of your penis, or it could be on your lip. Some people have them at the margin of their lip. And they, you know, people who don't know what they are will think that they're, you know, maybe a sexually transmitted situation.
Fever, blister,
yeah, or something like that, but they're not.
Yeah, right.
They're not. Now, here is, I just looked this up, and there is a cream that is specifically sold for Fordy spots. It's called Fordy Gel Spot Smoothing and Spot Reduction. It's $150. And it says it's first clinically proven men and women home treatment for a half ounce. It's $150. And there's one rating on this. It says, bought these same ones, and this worsened my condition. Do not buy.
Oh, no.
So this is what you do when you don't, when you're seeing things on the internet, is go to the source. So PubMed.gov, PubMed.gov, Fordyce spot treatment. And you can put the word novel in, because that's, novel means new and for medicine. So here's angiokeratoma of Fordy's response to long pulsed YAG laser treatment. Yes, patients are satisfied with laser treatment, so you would go to a med spa for that.
Right.
Here's treatment of Fordy's spots with a CO2 laser. Here's another one about laser. Successful treatment of Fordy spots with small spot, narrow band, intense pulse light, which is not laser, but it's just a really bright light. And, you know, so I'm seeing five articles, and none of them have anything to do with any creams.
Okay.
So let's go back to this place and see if they cite their evidence. Because when it says first clinically proven, then they're making a very strong statement there. That is a bold statement.
Yes, that's.
So what we want to do is go down and see if we can find an article that they cite, and so far, nothing. So I can't say it's good or bad, and I'm not going to trash their product. It may be the greatest thing in the world.
Right.
However,
right.
I cannot verify that it is clinically proven. And if someone wants to send me the, or someone from the company even wants to send me the clinical proof, feel free. But I'm going to want to see statistically significant double-blind placebo-controlled data. And that would be very easy to do with something like this.
If it was clinically
right,
tried.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. But I mean, that's how you would,
no,
you
know,
would give 100 people a placebo and 100 people the real deal. Nobody knows. The patient doesn't know. The researcher doesn't know. And then you decode it later.
Yep.
You have an independent monitor that's watching this as you go. And then that's how you will tell.
Yep.
And if it isn't that, I'm not buying that it's been clinically proven. But I'm not saying it's not.
Right.
First off, I don't want to get sued.
Nope.
But if it's great, I want to know about it.
Right, so
but I can't find the evidence.
Tell other people, yep.
Yep. So,
that's
anyway.
Cuckoo.
All right. So, for now, go to a med spa if you're really worried about it and let them laser them.
Laser it, baby.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Dr. Steve. I just thought of a, I guess what I thought was a decent question.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we will, too.
When it comes to new vaccines and, like, the polio vaccine when it came out, or the, you know, smallpox vaccine, or whatever, the ones that, you know, at this point, we know for sure really did a lot of good. I'm just curious, like, how many people took those, like, right when they came out? Because when they first came out with the polio vaccine, that was the very first time that, you know, that vaccine had ever been released. I wonder if, you know, people had the same, I guess, skepticism. Is this going to, you know, be worse or better? Or maybe just the fact that, you know, every kid had polio or something. it was obviously going to be better than that, so maybe they just all took it. Anyway, I didn't know where to try and find that information. And
yeah, no, it's a great question, and we don't have a whole lot of time to answer it, but I can tell you, in the 19th century, countries in Europe began making smallpox vaccine mandatory, and for the armies, and there were particularly, and the societies of anti-vaccinationists formed to protest what they saw as unequal treatment and undue infringement of individual liberty. Does that sound familiar? So this anti-vaccination sentiment is not new. It goes way back, and maybe next we could explore this a little bit further. Maybe we could get an expert on the line and we could just talk about it. But yeah, so it's not a new thing. It's healthy to be skeptical. I have no problem with that. Just, you know, be skeptical in a smart way. All right, man, you got anything else?
I think we're good to go.
Okay, don't forget to check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. Thanks always go to Dr. Scott. We can't forget Rob Sprantz, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teft, That Gould Girl, Lewis Johnson, Paul Ofcharsky, Chowdy 1008, Eric Nagel, The Port The Port Charlotte Whore. Roland, I don't know why that. Roland Campos, sister of Chris, Sam Roberts. Oh, here's another one. She Who Owns Pigs and Snakes. Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Matt Kleinschmidt, Dale Dudley, Holly from the Gulf, the great Rob Bartlett, Casey's Wet T-Shirt, Carl's Deviated Septum, and Patty Seacups. Bernie and Sid, Martha from Arkansas's daughter, Ron Bennington, and Fez Watley, whose support of this show has never gone unappreciated. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, on demand, and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com. Schedules, podcasts, and other crap. Well, you're already listening to the podcast. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community and of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community and of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.